I just really, really want to thank you because I know that life gets very busy, and I know that this is a weeknight and you got lots to do. So just thank you. Thank you so much for coming out here. It sure means a lot to me. I just love Kenya so much. The people, you know, they have all the time in the world for you. So it was kind of hard coming back here, but I still love you guys. The food is a little better here, I do say, and so are the toilets and all that stuff. But that family right there, I got a pointer. That's the missionary family. That's Virgil Weiss, Marilyn Weiss, Rebecca, and Eric. They adopted them. And I stayed with these people for 3 months. And so here's the facts. So while I'm speaking, you can just entertain yourself by looking at the pictures if I get a little too boring. So there they are. I had written a summary when I was in Africa before I'd, you know, on the way home in the airport. So I'm just going to read that to you. So, okay, thank you. I'm so thankful that I got to go to Kenya, Africa, and I'm thankful for the missionary family that let me stay with them. They are missionaries to Kenya, Africa, and they've been there for over 16 years. God has done lots of things in Kenya, Africa, and unfortunately, I only had the privilege to be his worker there for 3 months. God deserves all glory for all that he has done through me, for the people. Because of God, many souls got saved. Although many of the souls that God saved, only God knows their names. I have recorded some. Of the names that I recorded, there are 22. May the Lord be praised. The labor that brought these souls to Christ were Saturday afternoon visitation, meaning I went to their houses in the neighborhoods. And these are just the animals, if you like to look at those. I'll go back to those later. Okay, so I had disciples. I taught a youth class. And here's the Saturday visitation that we went out to. And while going on visitation, I just saw the hearts of the people and how they just, their lives are so empty. I mean, they don't have the riches that we Americans have. They don't just go and turn on the TV or the radio and drown out their world, you know, like we Americans do. You know, we just have everything, but these people, they have nothing. And so for me to come to them was just a great joy to them. They said that visitors are a blessing. And I really felt that. I would go to their house, and then all the neighbors who would see me walking would follow us. And they'd all crowd into this two-bedroom hut. And they'd just stand around, sit on each other's laps. They all wanted to hear what I had to say. And that was quite a difference from America, where they just slammed the door in your face and tell you to get lost. Because, you know, I do go on visitation here, and it's nothing compared to that. But I also discipled that girl right there, Mildred, and another, I don't have her picture up there, but through discipleship, I learned that God can use even me. Now, I am not very intelligent, you know, and but God was able to use me, and I could relate to these girls more deeply than you can imagine. You know, I'm having a teen pregnancy and growing up in, you know, in a poor family and, you know, and just kind of lifestyle that I had to live. I really had a lot to relate to these girls, and so it really touched their hearts, and I saw them grow in the Lord. That's so encouraging. And these are some of the people that got saved on the visitation, and they also came to church. They got saved and they started coming to church. I'm just so confused up here at the moment. I'm sorry. Okay. So at the New Life baby home where these abandoned babies and toddlers were, that's where I volunteered every day for a couple hours. You know, they just really stole my heart. I remember going there thinking the first day, like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I remember seeing the toddlers, and they're about the same age as my son, and I just kept thinking, I can't handle this. You know, these kids, I'm going to have to leave them, and I can't get too attached to them, and I know I will. And so it was really hard for me, and I learned through this that you should never grow weary in well-doing. You should never quit. Always, always love, always help. And these babies and toddlers, they were just abandoned on the street. Some of them were starving. Some of them were left to die in the sewage. But they were found, and they were put in this baby orphanage. And to be able to go there and show them love, to show them that, you know, God made them and loves them, and to just hold them and talk to them, and, you know, because the nurses there, they get paid. But me, I'm just a volunteer, and I have God's love, and so the nurses, they don't talk to these children. They just treat them like pets or something. But I was able to just, you know, really love them. I just learned from the Bush Outreach that you don't really need a lot to survive. And when God is with you, there's never a need for fear. God showed me the beauty of His creation, the outdoors. I love to be away from the busyness of the city and be near friendly people who had all the time in the world to visit with you. God taught me not to fear, but to trust Him every day with disease, insects galore, snakes, and scary things all around you. You might feel fear. Also, different people, culture, food, and the insanity of drivers and potholes on the road can be something exciting and scary. I learned to trust God and rely on Him for comfort, patience, wisdom, and even life. Just about every day I needed this, and I'm just thankful that I had God with me. This mission trip was about service, serving others and reaching out to the people with love and the gospel. I know that this mission trip was successful and pleasing to God only because of God's grace. Only because of God did anything good happen during this mission trip. All glory belongs to Him. I am very thankful that God counted me worthy to serve Him and the people of Kenya, Africa. I would also like to thank you because you had part in this ministry. Because of your love, prayers, and support, this ministry in Kenya, Africa was possible. So thank you very much. Alright, so now I'm going to go back to the traveling, and I'm going to tell you a couple crazy things that happened during that. Okay, so there's what it looked like. Now, I just remember getting into the car, and, you know, just traveling there, I got so sick. I've never been so sick in my life. You see over here in this picture, that's sewage right there, and garbage and junk. And those are potholes, and there's a cow, and that's water. Not much of a road to travel on. Let's just put it this way. There's chickens, cows, goats, people, everything on the road. And then there's these crazy buses that are full of people, where people are just, like, climbing out the windows. But, you know, it was just really crazy. Yeah, so, and then on the neighborhood outreach, right there. You know, most of the people, they live in a mud home, and many people share it. It's only a two-bedroom home. When we go there, we pray, and then we just share the gospel with them. If you want to know what the gospel is that I preached, I also put on the display table what it is that I use, so you can check that out later. Okay, and here's an experience of when I was there. And I'm just going to read it. It's me in the present, like, past tense, I mean. Okay. So I took them through the Ten Commandments, and we discovered that they were not good persons. I asked them if they thought they would go to heaven or hell. They said heaven. And I asked them why. Then they said that they were going to try to do better. When I reminded them that the First Commandment says, do not have any other God besides me, and the Second Commandment says, do not make unto yourselves any graven image, I told them that if they did not trust the Bible, they are making God a liar, because it says that all have sinned. And if they say that they have not sinned, they make God a liar. And I told them, you know, that, that I'm coming here to tell you about God's love. I didn't want them to feel like, oh, you're just going to hell, you're a terrible person. I wanted them to know that there's hope, and so that's why I went there. On the Bush Outreach, I also got to share, we had these movies, and we put up these screens, and we would share the Jesus film. People were so excited to have visitors and neighbors, and you went there, and they came to this video, and they were just very excited to be there, and because some of them have never seen a TV before, and or anything like that, so it was a lot of people got saved during that. I don't know how many, but they did. And then here's the email from the baby orphanage. My first visit I spent in the infant's room. As I looked around at the precious babies who were abandoned, I struggled to pull myself together. To think that someone would leave their baby to die. Oh, my heart just breaks at the thought of it. You can be mad at someone who has abandoned a baby, but you may not realize the circumstances. I understand that it is a horrible thing to neglect a baby. My heart just really goes out to the person who did it. How desperate must they be? What were the reasons? More importantly, did they know Christ? And I am glad that this world is not our home. I am glad that God's love and free gift of salvation. Such love and mercy that can heal even the severely brokenhearted. If God had not loved us, and if He had not given us the choice of redemption, life truly would be miserable. There are so many right now who are dying who don't know Jesus. Who will go and tell them of God's free gift and His love? Who will go show them God's love and comfort them? Are we too self-centered, lazy, and are disobedient that we don't care if people die without salvation and do nothing about it? Do we not care about the sick, dying, destitute, and fatherless people? If you don't believe they exist, you have not seen Africa. At the baby orphanage, there are also toddlers, and they are starved for love and attention. The moment I walked into the toddler's room, I had several children come to me, sit down on my lap, and put their arms around me. They wanted someone to hug. When I stood, a toddler would come to me and just put their arms around me and stand there for a few moments while I pat their fuzzy little heads and backs. Two toddlers in particular were attached to me, and they did not want to let me go. They kept coming to me and looking up at me and lifting their arms as they pleaded, "Pick me up, pick me up." They would talk to me, and they kept looking at me, and when I looked back at them and smiled, they smiled back. When I went to put them down, they would cry and beg me to pick them back up. It broke my heart, so I ended up holding one the whole time. I had toddlers literally climbing me with their dirty shoes stepping on my skirt and their dirty, sticky hands grabbing me. At one point, if you can try to picture, I was standing and holding four toddlers. Not only was I holding four toddlers, but I had more than three trying to climb up me and pulling on the other ones trying to get them down. It was a disaster. There were lots of tears and sad faces as I had to put them all down. One boy in particular, who was very attached to me, would not stop crying. When it was time to go in, I took the crying, broken-hearted boy's hand and walked to the building. Towards the middle of the walk, I picked him up, and he was about to stop crying. But when we got to the door, a house parent took him from my arms, and he really started crying. I almost cried. It is very hard to say goodbye to all these dear, precious babies and toddlers. Another sad thing to see was sick children, most likely due to AIDS. There was a toddler who was so sick that there was nothing to make him happy. He was just fuzzy. I mean, he wasn't fussy. He just looked really tired and overloaded with pain. Not even a cookie made him happy. He just stared at the cookie in his hands, debating within himself if he had the energy to take another bite while I fended off the toddler from taking his cookie away. The poor little boy was in so much pain, and at one point he just started crying. So I went near him, and he came to me and wanted a hug. As he stood there at my legs, my heart melted. I pat his back and head and spoke to him, and soon he stopped crying, which stood there for quite a while. When lunchtime came, and I helped put chairs around the table, put kids in the chairs, and put on their bibs, I was glad to see that they had enough to eat. But most delightful was the workers that had them thank Jesus for their food. See that boy right there? Oh, my thing is not working that well. See, he's praying for his food. And when they were done eating, I helped wash the children's hands, clean them up, take off their bibs, and then I cleaned the table and put away some chairs. When I was finished, I had to go because it was noon. As I walked out the doors, I felt empty, like I had forgotten something. I knew that what I was leaving behind, those babies and toddlers. If I had my way, I would take them all home. And if I had enough room in my suitcase, I might have just stuffed them in there. But I had to comfort myself every day by saying, "You'll come back tomorrow. You'll see them again. Just wait. Tomorrow will come soon enough." The days did come soon enough. We never need to worry about tomorrow. Always be patient and trust in the Lord. Know that God's grace is sufficient, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Live each day for Christ, and as if it were your last. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right. And then on another note, I just want to talk to you about, you know, just coming home, I think, was worse than going there and being there. It was just so emotional to just leave those people, to leave the wonderful ministries that I had, and to come home to people who just hated when you talked to them about God, and they just slammed a door in your face. And I felt like Jonah. I mean, I knew it was my time to come back, but I didn't want to be here. And still, it's still hard to be here. I love you guys. I just had such a great ministry over there, and I just fell in love with these people. But, you know, I don't know if you know this, but when Noah got off the ark after the world was ruined and all the people had died and only him and his family were saved, he built an altar of sacrifice to God. And that story touches me because I think about it. Yeah, sure, this world is ruined, but this is where I am now. This is where God wants me. So I'm going to serve him where I am, no matter how hard it is. You know, we need to preach in season, out of season. Never give up. Like I said, when I went to that orphanage, I wanted to quit early on because I felt so attached to those babies, and I knew that I'd have to leave them. But I just knew that that was selfish because those babies, they needed someone to love them. So I had to go there. You know, love, true love is very sacrificial. And to love someone enough to put your own self in pain, that's love. You know, God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins because he was not willing that any should perish. Would you be willing to send your son to die for the sinners? I don't know if I would, but God does. But God does. He given us a commandment that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, even here in America, where it's hard. God gives you grace. He really does. He's with you always. There's two verses in the Bible that, you know, they just really bring about Christianity. It helps me to understand what Christianity is. It says, the two greatest commandments are this, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love your neighbor as yourself. It seems to me as though Christianity is all about love. And it says, by this we will know that we love the children of God. When we love God, we will keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And that says in 1 John 5:2-3. But also in 1 John 4:18-21, it says that there is no fear in love, because perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved him. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment have we from him, that he who loved God love his brother also. If you love your brother, you will care more about him going to hell than if you're going to be embarrassed or if that person might kill you. You will care more about saying, hey, listen, I have a story to tell you. You might think I'm crazy, but I love you enough to let you know that you're in trouble. Like any good parent, they will spank their children when they're in trouble because they want them to learn. So, you know, just, I know it is hard to preach the gospel here in America. But like I said, perfect love casts out all fear. God is with us, and He will never leave us or forsake us. He gives us strength. He gives us grace. We have no excuse. And when we go to heaven, or when we die one day, it says that every man shall give an account to God. All your works will be judged. And I don't want any of you to stand up before God one day and Him say, look at all these people that you could have told about Jesus and you didn't. Sure, God has forgiven us about that. But look at all those people who, if just maybe, they would have heard the gospel, they wouldn't be in hell. So I want you to remember that. You know, it's wonderful that I got to do all these good things. But you know what? If I didn't have Jesus, the foundation, they would be count for nothing. It's like in Matthew it says, Lord, Lord, we've done all these things in Your name. But God said, depart from Me, I never knew You. I don't know. Do you know God? It says, by grace are we saved by faith, not of works. It is the gift of God. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that you are a sinner and that you are going to go to hell? Well, I hope you know that there's something that God did so that you don't have to go to hell. And if you get judged one day and you stand before God, and He says, I don't know you, that's the worst thought in my mind. Anything good that you can do without having salvation first. Salvation is the foundation that we build on, because our works are going to be tried by fire. It's like the person who built their house on sand. If you don't have salvation, you're building your house on sand. It could be a glorious thing made out of whatever, sticks and hay, but when the waves come crashing, it's all going to go away. But if you have the foundation of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when it gets tried, you'll stand. So I just hope that you will think about that. Thank you. I think I'm done now. I think we're going to have a video. I don't know.